This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the AEW Dynamite preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite Homecoming. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett. Michael Sidgwick is off taking a well-deserved week off. But yet again, Michael Hamflett, lots to look forward to on AEW Dynamite tonight, particularly as they're back home.
Yeah, and it's as lovely as it is to be home. Maybe start getting used to that old Daly's Place interior based on stories that are breaking today. And a reminder to all our American listeners, go and get vaccinated and then we can keep these Chicago buildings nice and fucking full. Because, yeah, Daly's Place will be really great tonight, but I hope it's not a sign of things to come. The homecoming show is quite a nice label to attach on yet another kind of packed Dynamite. Although this one, compared to the last few weeks, doesn't feel stacked on paper. Mm. And that might not be a bad thing. I've probably been not overcritical, because every Wednesday night I go in with my bowl of cereal waiting for just another 10 out of 10 on a Wednesday night. But I feel like there's been quite a few saggy, sludgy moments on these Dynamites that have otherwise had these like legendary, amazing scenes. Maybe this episode tonight is going to just have a bit more consistency across the board. There's a really strong main event. There's a couple of really awesome teases. And then like a lot of solid stuff. I don't mean that to sound boring, because genuinely it is solid. But this might, what this lacks in the spectacular of the last few weeks, it might make up for in a slightly more well-rounded episode.
Let's start with Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes in the Road 2. Black describes Rhodes as obsolete. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this one plays out, isn't it? Because they need to really establish Malakai Black as this character, a dominant force on AEW. And yet, Cody Rhodes, he's aside from the QT Marshall feud, has gone fairly back and forth with quite a few people.
Yeah, it is imperative tonight that Malakai Black wins. I have never been, I know people like to give me stick for some of my own issues with the Cody character, but I've never been one of those people to dive on Cody Rhodes winning the matches he wins. Usually, you can find storyline justification for it, kayfabe reasons for Cody Rhodes winning when he does win. This is one I'm not sure they can walk Malakai Black from if he loses tonight. So I would expect him to win. I think the match is going to be good. I think we have evidence to suggest it's going to be super heated. They seem to have awesome chemistry together from the pull aparts. There's not been a lot of story to this. Black has targeted Cody for whatever reason, and they fought. It's been one of the more simplistic AEW builds, and it's been one of the ones that they've not dragged out longer to the point where we no longer want to see the match. This hasn't gone 8, 12, even longer on Dynamite in terms of weeks of investment. It's been about four So it feels red hot. The match might be white hot. And there's an air of unpredictability, even if there's not in the result, because we don't know how Daly's Place are going to respond to Cody Rhodes. The Carolinas made their minds up last week, for the most part. And Cody has been booed in Daly's before. The Face of the Revolution match, when he kind of came back off the stretcher for the Heroes attempt at winning the ladder match, winning the big Sonic ring, yep. He was booed for his participation in that match because people clearly wanted to see somebody else win that. I'm sure the context is different here and that might impact the response Cody's going to get. But all of this is interesting because people are really thrilled that the former Aleister Black, the former Tommy End, Malakai Black is getting this opportunity. So that might be informing some of those cheers as well. I don't think the result's in doubt, but I can't wait to see it play out. It feels unpredictable.
Yeah, you're right. I think, like you say, it has to be a victory for Malakai Black, but how they present that and how Cody Rhodes is received is going to be fascinating. And I'm one who often describes impossible scenarios for finishers to matches. But as a man who, you know, we all love the Seth Rollins RKO, for example, or the Evan Bourne RKO, for example. I always think the really underrated RKO is the Jeff Hardy one where he goes from Twist of Fate and he gets spun into an RKO. I feel like a crossroads into whatever he's calling the Black Mass nowadays just works perfectly as the finish to this match to completely take his head off.
You've almost gone too logical there. So can I pitch something surely anatomically impossible instead? Black Mass off a disaster kick.
Oh,
so he's flipping round in midair from middle rope, boot extended, but Aleister Black's got a longer leg. Malakai Black, sorry, has got a longer leg, and he just clips him in the face out of midair. And Arn is there, furious, because he told him not to leave his head exposed.
Yes.
Something like that.
I've just had a real flash of worry about Jim Ross versus Aleister / Malakai Black. It reminds me of that TNA show where they weren't allowed to use the ECW names, and Taz and Tanay had a right old field day with that.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I mean, I just made that mistake, so like, I can't exactly have a go at Jim Ross tomorrow if he does it. As well, something we haven't really kind of touched on with this feud, because as I say, they've arrived at the match straight away, is what, after the fact, are we setting up for All Out for one or both of these guys? It's not... it doesn't feel unlikely that both Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes will be on the card. I don't think AEW are the sort of company that would think we need to run this back. Can you really see being this the straight singles match in order to set up? So it's just not how AEW books, is it? So it's kind of, it would be lovely to think that we get something conclusive this week as a way perhaps to maybe write Cody off or begin his brief write off because he's going to film Go Big Show or whatever it is. And you start teeing up Malakai Black's All Out opponent. But I don't have pitches particularly for that yet. I think it'll be interesting to see how the match plays out tonight so we can maybe work out some of the finer details of what's next for both of these.
Well, I suppose one person it could be, now I think about it, is Hangman Page. I'm still astonished that they are not going in this direction. The reports seem to suggest, yeah, Hangman Page. I mean, obviously, people might sit there and say, well, yeah, they lost that 5-on-5 match last week. That means he's not getting a title shot. But the story is so perfect. Hangman Page finally wins the big one, beats Kenny Omega and wins the world title at All Out, considering his history there. You just thought they'll find some way to get around it or, you know, recover it in or whatever they do. But we're a month away and it doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. What is next for Hangman Page and your reaction to this news, first of all?
The Hangman Page story currently, and we have to say that obviously this is all based on what we've heard through news outlets, and Dynamite tonight will probably give us something a bit more solid. Like, let's watch the product for our answer rather than read the news that reports on the product ahead of time, I guess is what I'm saying there. It's kind of rational thought versus emotional pro wrestling response. So Hangman Page has lost this match, and the stipulation meant that he and the Dark Order couldn't get title shots. So that, rationally, is AEW adhering to their stipulations. A story came, well, it didn't come out, we knew, but I guess nobody had done the date maths. But somebody did the date maths on Hangman Page's partner's due date. And again, a rational reason why maybe you don't want to have a guy so featured so prominently if their TV appearances are going to be spotty over a, you know, several week period with the baby coming along. It worked brilliantly for John Moxley to, you know, briefly phase him out of television while the baby was on the way. And the latest news, unfortunately, we have to go back to it, on the pandemic. RAW not yet wanting to announce that All Out is not going to be the full building in Chicago that they hoped. Is anywhere going to be the full building that they hoped? You know, what, like, the uncertainty of all of that could be just one of many reasons why they've elected to hold off on Hangman Page winning here. Finally, and I don't want to, I don't think this is the case, but people have posited this. Has CM Punk and Daniel Bryan's impending arrivals changed their plans? A company that sticks rigorously to the whiteboard, have they had to think, you know what, we trust ourselves to make that change, and when we get there, it's all going to be work. Like, I trust them to do it. I don't think it's that personally, but I've seen that take bandied around as well. So I'm just trying to cover off all the potentially rational reasons why this isn't happening the way we thought it would. Emotionally, all very different. Yeah, last week's match didn't just want you fired up for the Page Omega match. It wanted you to find up for them to find a way to go back on their stipulations. Me and Sidgwick were talking over our real desks because I get the joy of going at the office on a Thursday morning. And he was saying, I'm going to spend all weekend thinking about how they're going to, I don't know how they're going to do this. And I love that. It's made this last beat of the story unpredictable. We'd all said we thought he needed one more hurdle and AEW found it. It wasn't in a title loss. It was in a loss before the title match. So yeah, what I am looking forward to is a kind of, I don't know, I want the confirmation more than I want the discourse. I want AEW to kind of signpost to me tonight if all of that news over the weekend was just speculation or if it's for real. I want to start thinking definitively that Paige is not going to be like wrestling Kenny Omega All Out, or I want to be given the tease. Yeah, he is. You got nothing to worry about. We just ruffled your hair over the weekends. We leaked something funny to Meltzer for the crack. And we just wanted people's speculations heightened ahead of Dynamite or something like that. You know, they're the leaking, my speculation only, but the leaking of the Punk and Bryan stuff has been exquisite. Like, the media management of those potential signings has been absolutely exquisite. So I kind of wouldn't put it past them for this news to break and then Dynamite to reveal more of a truth, shall we say. But yeah. I think that, if nothing else, it'd be nice to have some clarity on his all-out status one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
I imagine they can do that in the form of him, the Dark Order, him feeling devastated on behalf of the Dark Order, and then telling him that it's fine.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. It would be a lovely touch to have that. It's just a real shame, I suppose, with Punk Bryan stuff. I certainly hope it's not the case that they have changed their plans because of those two arriving. Because as well as that, the biggest jump to AEW, whether they were associated with a product like WWE or not, is happening tonight, which we will get to. And also, in answer to your other point, I sent WWE will turn around on the 23rd of August and go, yeah, you're right. I think we should just shut everything down. Let's stop for, I'm just picking on my head, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Yeah, it's all like that. Yeah. Right, let's talk about the third Labour of Jericho, Michael Hamflett, because, I mean, if you thought last week's was unbelievable, Nick Gage, no DQ, light tubes, death match thing, Juventud Bloody Guerrera's back. He tweeted something along the lines of, I'll sort this out for you, MJF. He's taken my mask, or he took my mask, I'll take his soul, or something along those lines. Not only has he got to face Hoovy, Jericho has to win via top rope move. A genius stipulation from MJF.
Yeah, a genius stipulation. Another absolutely fascinating match to get to watch. Much like the Nick Gage, not one that we're going to be analysing in terms of, oh, can they like approach 4 or 5 stars? You know, these are older men than they were when they were doing it on Nitro. But something that you just get to be fascinated at the exhibition of. Like, what can Hoovy still do? What has he got in his arsenal that will lend itself nicely to the fact that he's a mercenary for MJF? Because he used to be, and probably still is, an incredible flyer, but tonight he's going to be able to cheat. So you're going to see things like rotten low blows because MJF told him, win this match at all costs, you know. The Jericho top rope move is so inspired because they can go so many different ways with this. As I've said, or alluded to on other podcasts. And look, I don't hold this against him. Work is going to work. Chris Jericho is selling a book that has documented every single one of his matches. And it's not on Amazon. And it's promoted every week. And suddenly Chris Jericho is in a storyline where he gets to wrestle 5 different types of matches. He's not daft.
Right? And showcase different personalities.
He's really not daft. Right. So we are this, much like he was kind of like in Le Champion form against Sean Spears and could be a deathmatch guy against Nick Gage. He is going to level up to Hoovy tonight because it's psychologically sound for him to do so, because he wants to throw it in MJF's face, because wrestlers have got egos and that's fine. And he's going to want to show that every now and then he still can remember the face he pulled when he hit that lion salt after the botched one. That grin down the hard camera. And I said, you're welcome, Chris Jericho, with a big smile right down the lens of the hard camera. And you knew what he was getting at. He was like hitting back at all those critics. So tonight I got three pitches for the finish. You ready?
Ooh.
Ready? Number one, again, based on the what Juventud Guerrero does, a 450 splash.
Oh my God.
he has been practicing on a mattress. Number two, because it is embedded in AEW law, the shooting star press.
Oh my days.
Number three.
Please let it be number three, because I think I know where you're going with this.
And this is perhaps the more realistic pitch. MJF tries to interfere. Jericho steals the Dynamite Diamond Ring and wins with a flying fist drop.
Oh, I thought you were going for Eddie Guerrero frog splash. So yeah, great.
Just like you like realizes, oh, you're trying to outthink me with the stipulation, but I can do both. I can climb those ropes and I can still outthink you. You'll never be Chris Jericho.
Is a Yokozuna sitting on the chest thing count as a top rope thing?
That's at Adam Wilborn. Responses to that gag.
Before we move on.
Bonsai drop.
Before we move on, final. We assume he's going to announce it, although they've got plenty of time. They don't have to necessarily do week. Final prediction for the fourth Labour of Jericho. We know the fifth one is, of course, that match with MJF if he gets there.
Is that right, is it, yeah? Have they absolutely said?
I think so. I get confused because I first watched it half asleep many, many moons ago and thought, okay, yeah, got it. And then I've had people on Twitter going, what do you reckon the fourth and fifth Labours of Jericho are going to be? And I'm like, wait a second, I thought we all agreed the fifth Labour was MJF. But regardless, let's just say the fourth. What do you reckon the fourth one's going to be for now?
Well, to hedge my bets then, in case there's two left instead of one, I really like the fantasy booking of like a submission match with Lance Storm. You know, like, I really love that. Oh, Jericho, you flew off the top rope. Are you still something of a thrill seeker? Because I know somebody else who is. And then the whole deal is like, you know, Storm could probably still go, but he's obviously Jericho's a regular. So you make a submission stipulation and you work Jericho's knee or something in this match so that Storm's going to be targeting the knee and going for the maple leaf. And because I said it a billion years ago when the stipulation first got announced, I've got to pat myself on the back and put myself over for what should be the best of the lot, which is Jericho and Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, yeah. I sense that's probably the way that they're going, because it's a wonderful twist of, rather than, oh, yeah, here's all these gits that you have to face. It's like, you're the knobhead now if you win, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Although, final suggestion from me, I've gone fairly all over the place with this. Considering what's been going on recently with WWE and contracts, I would not be that surprised if MJF went, well done, Chris, for your fourth Labour of Jericho. You've probably heard of this guy, Goldberg.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, let's move on and talk a little bit more about Dynamite this evening and the return of the Redeemer, Michael Hamflett. God, I love this version of Miro.
Yeah, two Lee Johnsons in this world are going to take a hammer in this week. One is the Sunderland manager when our season kicks off on Saturday, and the other is Shoddy Lee when he gets battered by Miro tonight on Dynamite. I have missed Miro. His promos have been excellent. He's compared him last week to kind of the heel John Moxley in the way that he finds just the right line and just the right psychology to sell you on a fight. In John Moxley's case, it was like, I got a pregnant wife at home. In Miro's case, it's like, I got a flexible one. You know, there's a lot of similarities between the two. Johnson's didn't bother. Here's a thought, actually, tying something together from earlier on in the podcast. Could this go on after... It probably won't, I guess, but could this go? Could somehow Cody Rhodes find himself folded into this? Because obviously Johnson is from what remains of the babyface side of the factory split, the Nightmare Factory split. Dustin would be another guy that you could tee up, and Cody could say he wants to save the soul of the TNT title because yet again he can't go for the world, so that's always his ceiling in AEW. Maybe that transitions one into another. Because Miro is another guy who they've got some pretty big shows and no super clear direction. I really, really, really want, and I guess if Paige isn't getting a title shot, it probably doesn't bode well for the rest of the Dark Order. I would love Colt Cabana to get the shot for the TNT title in Chicago. I think that would go down so well. Mm. Like, what a beloved indie hero, hometown babyface, to be folded in half by Miro, the complete bastard, on the pay-per-view. And then you've got the likes of Eddie Kingston, Arthur Ashe, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's ideal opponents for various venues, but nobody in his sights storyline-wise. So maybe we'll get a little bit of that tonight once he's put away Johnson. It'll be good. It will be really, really good, effective television wrestling because Johnson will get a little bit of shine, but there's not many people on this whole show that touch Miro at the moment.
It's just terrifying. Brilliant character work. It's watched on the road too as well. You know, there's all the, he's not unblinking, but it is the, you know, I am chosen to do this. And Lee Johnson, credit to him, it's a great sort of thing of, you know, I've got all these experienced heads and I'm learning and I'm going to shock the world on Wednesday night or whatever. And then he says, because Miro obviously came out, I think presumably this must have been on Dark. I don't remember this happening on Dynamite. Miro comes out and goes, the fans chose my last opponent. God has chosen this one. And he's chosen you, saw Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson on the road to goes, yeah, God did choose me to expose you. And I was like, don't use that thing against him. He's going to kill you if he hears you saying that, Lee. But yeah, I have no doubt this is... Well, this has the potential on a show with some great matches to genuinely be match of the night because I think the styles just work so well together. And morbid, ghoulish git that I am, I love it when he puts whatever the accolade's called now, and he just bends people in half. The Darby Allin show is always
great, man.
You know, you think, oh, you can't have your baby face tap out. You come and it looks like that. Jesus. One thing, it's not been advertised, but I'm fairly certain last week, correct me if I'm wrong, they said that it was going to be moved to this evening, is the big story, QT Marshall apologising to one Tony Schiavone. I know this is kind of touching a bit of a nerve because we sense this is going to lead in a direction. And, you know, what's the phrase about you miss every shot you don't take or whatever?
You don't take, yeah.
Yeah, you don't take. I just thought there was something along those lines for tweets that could have been sent and now can't be anymore, Michael Hamflett.
God damn it, everybody. Serena Deeb is the best and she's so good. She looked into my brain, and when I didn't tweet a picture of her and Bret Hart in wheelchairs, she did. And that is fine. I want her to get the numbers because she's the best anyway, and I am fine about that. Yeah, devastating news. But if you haven't seen it, if there's any one person listening to this podcast that somehow hasn't seen it, pause this podcast and go watch Serena Deeb's promo, one of the best of the year. She cuts it from a wheelchair in a wrestling ring because she doesn't want to be anywhere else until she's recovered. It's amazing, but unless this is a red herring, it's not her. For what we'd hoped, which was that this is all to lead to Britt Baker perhaps making a save, and then turning out QT Marshall having somebody in his back pocket from the factory that wants to take out Britt Baker. Jade Cargill was another quite realistic name that we pitched in that spot. Indeed, there could be others. I just hope this is what this is. Yeah, Tony apologised last week for them not having enough time for him to be apologised to. So we're going to have that on next week's. Going to have that on next week's Dynamite. And then, as you say, it hasn't necessarily come to the front since. So whether or not it gets bumped again, I don't know. My worry is that last week's really misguided Britt Baker, I don't need you people, rubbish. Like, it's like, but the people just really want to need you. It's yep. Cool. You know, like the point of her promo was that she was going to get a heater, was it? Like, she needs backup, which felt like they were going to, like, suddenly they felt like separate angles, didn't they?
Oh, what are you going to do? Go and get your boyfriend? Yeah, please do that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, like, it just suddenly felt like a completely separate storyline. So my worry is now that's not going to come together. If it's not, like, and I've intentionally not said this out loud on a podcast because I did see it online and I understand the discussion for it. I just don't want this to be the case. If it's not Britt Baker, is it going to be a Big Show? Does anybody want to see Paul White feuding with the Nightmare Factory because they happen to commentate on the same show together and they're mates now? Like, I have seen this. I know. But like, when Britt Baker sort of appeared to be steering off in a different direction or whatever stubbornness about them not wanting to fully commit to being a babyface, I don't know. I we're speculating on things that haven't happened. So I don't want to be critical of something that hasn't yet occurred. But what seemed to me like an ideal opportunity to give Britt Baker a proper story and a proper babyface turn feels like it's dissolving into the distance a little bit.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I just will have this great nervous energy if they do go, and now QT Marshall apologising in front of Tony Schiavone and his entire family, which is, I believe, what was promised. Just, there is going to be something that I'm dead excited about yet. But yeah, we don't want any of that sort of thing, any more sort of WWE cast-offs. Let's talk about Christian Cage. I'm joking. Calm down, Twitter. Turn off the caps lock. All right, save it. Christian Cage, he's facing the Blade tonight. He's got Jungle Boy in his corner. Matt Hardy's in the other corner. This possibly to set up, well, I keep saying, is this the week that Christian Cage turns on Jungle Boy? I don't think this is probably this week, but further developments and glances you sense in this story as we go forward as a straightforward victory for Christian Cage against the Blade. I don't need any more Blade brass knocks bollocks for me, thanks.
No, Christian Cage versus Dynamite's The Blade. He's never off the show, is he? It's a straightforward singles match with a wider purpose that hopefully makes the most of AEW's rankings. He's got Jungle Boy with him who gets to get a few, like, big pop spots, I guess, dealing with Matt Hardy and anyone comes from the family office. Perhaps Luchasaurus will be there as well. But yeah, it's straightforward rankings padding win for Christian because the split surely has to come off the back of a Christian Cage Kenny Omega match. I want to make something explicitly clear. As of today, Wednesday afternoon, I do not want Christian Cage versus Kenny Omega to be the AEW World Title match for All Out.
Oh no.
That said, tomorrow they might have come up with the very best sales pitch for that. This is a good wrestling show. I don't want to damn it with faint. I don't want to like damn it now and then have to damn it with faint praise tomorrow. I await them to tell me a story, but on paper, it does not feel exciting at all. It feels there to serve the purpose of A, paying off when Christian first arrived and had the belt in his hand, and B, that Christian and Jungle Boy have both lost to Kenny, and that kind of frustrates Christian. All I wanted to do was outwork everybody, and I couldn't even outwork you, and I don't need you as a friend anymore, and all that sort of stuff. Like that. All of this feels like it exists for that rather than for a frigging massive pay-per-view to have Kenny Omega and Christian Cage on it.
Yeah. There is potential, absolutely, for that. You look at the rankings and what have you, and this will be presumably another victory for Christian Cage. And well, we were talking before we started recording about the lack of Kenny Omega, Young Bucks sort of elite action here on this show. But if he comes out, or if even better, beats up Marco Stunt. I'm sorry, I know I always do this. It's a go-to thing. I love Marco Stunt. He's a lovely bloke when I met him at Double or Nothing. And I'm morbid with that sort of thing. But, yeah, with Jungle Boy and Christian Cage busy and the amount of people that are in the Elite, that leaves Luchasaurus and tiny Marco Stunt to be wrecked, and Christian Cage being like, I'll take this up for my new dinosaur friends, Jurassic friends, or whatever. Maybe that's the direction they go in.
I feel like we're heading to Cage Omega. It's how you, like, where you put it and how you play it out. I think people, based on what you could sense from the Pulse once the Hangman Page news dropped, a lot of people were very quick, not just to say, oh, I really wanted that, but then also to say, what I really don't want is Christian Cage and Kenny Omega. They might tell the perfect story. They really might. It doesn't feel like the match yet, does it?
No, the other issue you would have as well, and we sort of speculated about this when it was Hangman Page, so goodness knows what it'd be like with Christian Cage. All Out is potentially overshadowed, if you haven't done it already, with the arrival of CM Punk. So if they haven't pulled the trigger by then, I think they will have, but if they haven't, that match is going to be, yeah, get on with the title match so Kenny Omega can retain and CM Punk can come out, sort of thing. That's the direction.
I would dare say they'd be looking for something to go on last instead of it. They had that at Double or Nothing, didn't they, with the triple threat. It wasn't, you know, they knew they could lead with Stadium Stampede because it didn't feel mega hot, did it? Omega, Pac and Orange Cassidy. So you don't want Omega's reign to become remembered for these undercard concerns, yeah, rather than something big, you know.
CM Punk comes out and goes, not main eventing as the world title, as the world champion. Yeah, I know that feeling. Okay.
Completed it, mate.
We've also got the Bunny versus God Bless You, God Bless Me, God Bless, Leila Hirsch, for the number one contendership, effectively, for the NWA Women's Championship. I'll be happy with either of these two women winning. I think they're both really talented.
Yeah, the Bunny has been slightly underrated in these typically too short last quarter hour Dynamite women's matches. They're not fixing the women's division. They never are. It's this forever and ever and ever, amen. But she's good in them nonetheless. And Leila Hirsch was, I think, like the lost prospect of 2020's women's division. The lack of reps, the lack of opportunity to get Dynamite TV time. I cannot speak to what she might have been doing on Dark and Dark Elevation, and I apologise for that. But every single time...
You shouldn't have to with this women's division. They should be not exposing them, that's the wrong word, but showcasing them a lot more on Dynamite. That's the flagship show at the end of the day.
Yeah, that certainly, with stories, you would be able to do this. You know, if they're insistent on one match a week, if you told more stories, then at least you know a bit more about the characters. But Leila Hirsch has done most for storytelling in the ring. I love that bit they always go to. Genuinely one of my favourite, it's not a running gag, but it's a theme of Leila Hirsch matches, where she's really, really good at the, as my coach would say, at pound and ground. She's really tough. She doesn't give much of a... And then she can't quite get it done. So she it turns out she could do a springboard moonsault or something like that. And then she goes for one high spot too many, and it's the mistake she makes because she's still learning how to bring that to her game. I really, really love that detail that they've gone to so often with her. But I hope it doesn't happen tonight because I want her to win.
Yeah.
I'd like her to get this title shot. Again, I think it's profile, isn't it? It wouldn't be the same as if Serena Deeb was still champion, but you put an NWA title match on Dynamite, where Leila Hirsch is probably the more familiar of the two women to the Dynamite audience, it becomes a bigger deal on the night. So I think it'd be a great opportunity for her as well. Don't know who's going to win, but I just hope this is good. As usual, the women are kind of have got no choice but to try and maximise the minutes. So I just hope this is great.
Yeah, and I hope that they don't go, oh, bollocks, we're running out of time. We've got to get to the main event. Let's cut this one short. Because like you say, it's frustrating when they just go, okay, 5 minutes, bish, bash, bosh, because it's a number one contenders match, effectively. Or, yeah, I think it's the winner gets a title shot. So, yeah. It's all a bit up in the air at the NWA Women's Championship, of course. But anyway, never mind all that. Let's talk about what is going to be the main event and biggest shock of the evening, as 2.0, formerly 3.0, formerly
ever rise from NXT, Matt Lee, Jeff Parker. They are teaming up with the brilliant Daniel Garcia, who Andy repeatedly tells me is just sensational on Dark, to take on this little team. What are their names? John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Darby Allin. Can't believe they're going to beat all three of them on their first night in the company. Michael Hanfler, this was such great news to wake up to. I mean, it's turning me on. I'm so excited to see which one out of Moxley and Eddie Kingston and Darby Allin is the first to take a swing. But they're all going to get a piece, aren't they, basically?
They are all going to get a piece. I love that this is a six-man because when you name the names one after another after another, it just makes me do the Vince McMahon falling off the chair meme, and it really is turning me on, like thinking about the absolute slaughtering that the lads are going to get, our boys are going to take off. Well, maybe not. Maybe they can single out Darby Allin, just trying to steal his skateboard or something. You guys do a kickflip!
Oh my God, if they do a spot where they both try and skateboard briefly, I think I might die.
Yeah. John Moxley, surly John Moxley, he's still getting no sleep and has still got the smell of a shitty nappy on his hand. He's just in no mood for any of this. Even like Kingston's trying to calm him down. It's just like, we've dealt with these guys. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Oh man, this is brilliant. In all, like, really good fun, really amazing. Of course, babyface mega force can win easily. Jesus. It's trio. But yeah, we talked about this off air. I've had chats with Andy Murray over the virtual desks today. This is not my take. I wish it was. And worse, I can't remember who said it on Twitter. So that's the worst case scenario, isn't it? But AEW sold out a building on Darby Allin saying the words best in the world because Ever Rise are jobbing three baby faces on Dynamite. And what that take meant, and certainly my interpretation of that, was AEW makes a million tiny little decisions like that, and it shows its audience that it is listening, that it understands the industry at large, and that it is worthy so much of your trust that even when you don't like the product, you will be there, eager, certain that next week will be better. It, like, I cannot stress what an awesome decision this is. What a finger on the pulse, ear to the ground call this is. It could be one night. We've seen plenty of guys come in, get a taste, as it were, in AEW, work a couple of shows, decent Dark, decent Elevation, all that kind of thing. And that could be that. And that's fine. And that is absolutely, like, we obviously, as enormous Ever Rise lifers, hope for nothing but the best for the lads and that this is the start of a long-term deal. I would happily see them included in the loaded and stacked AEW tag division. But even if this is one night, like, what an act to pick. Yeah. And what an opportunity for these guys to show themselves off. Another case of a wrestler with a baby on the waist. It's nice they're going to get a pay slip for tonight. And I, just because they get, like, Nick Comoroto got destroyed by John Moxley in a squash. Eddie Kingston got his job by working one night in AEW. You know, like, there are loads of examples of sometimes the right guys for the right time. And as you put just before we started recording, is it really about Ever Rise being on Dynamite or is it about them being on Being the Elite? Christ almighty. Like, interacting with the Dark Order, like, trying to see if they can make the Young Bucks have a taste and not even be able to get anywhere near them. Like, we were already off air because we love this so much, pitching skits. I suggested they open up the Young Bucks t-shirt boxes, and like money spilling everywhere because the Young Bucks fart on merchandise. Like, they ain't even got coffee mugs. Right there. Like, a million and one things you can do with them. So talented. Danny Garcia, who obviously, you know, is probably not getting the privilege of a mention. It's going to be the first time I've ever seen him. And again, like, what a stage, what a chance. He only needs to do one cool thing and we'll remember the name Danny Garcia. Great. Great, 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 great. Loads of fun. Can't wait.
Yeah. Just, I mean, we're incredibly biased, not just because we're massive former Ever Rise, now 2.0 marks. Also because they're just lovely blokes, having interviewed them and chatted them off air, Matt and Jeff. Like you say, it's just a lovely, even if it's a one-off gesture, I really have never wanted the Is All Elite thing more than two. But regardless, be great. Just, lads, if you're listening, don't, before you go out there, go up to Lance Archer or Wardlow, Jake Hager or Miro and say, well, you want to take a swing? Because you will not be competing if you do that, basically.
Are but the it's going to be the last labor of Jericho hiding in plain sight? Is it going to be a handicap match against 2.0?
Maybe. I think they are going to smash, stack, and pin Moxley, Kingston, and Allen. But that's we'll wait and see. And I'm so excited for them more than anything. But I'm so excited to see. It's going to be so weird. The biggest jump of the Wednesday Night War ever. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yep.
Okay.
No lies detected.
Michael Sidrick's just sitting in his lovely holiday home going, something wrong, love. I don't know what it is, but I've just sensed it. Wilbo said some bollocks, which is just all the time. If he had that sense, he'd be kicking off 24/7. Anyway, right, let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Dynamite Homecoming tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, say, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our NXT review is up there right now. And our AEW Dynamite review will be there tomorrow as soon as it is released as well. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.